Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, October 15th, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Baltimore, Maryland. I want to start today's Stormcast with two quick reminders. First, D-Link firmware updates. The hidden backdoor is getting a lot of press and with that, certainly a lot of exposure and people scanning for it. So be careful, keep those D-Link routers patched. Secondly, the vulnerability in the bulletin that I mentioned last week, that one also gets a lot of exposure, and apparently there are already a few thousand sites that have been compromised using the vulnerability that allows attackers to add administrator accounts. So again, if you patch the bulletin, also make sure that you don't have already any unauthorized administrator accounts. And Microsoft today released its support policy for Windows 8 and how it will be affected by Windows 8.1. The short summary is that Windows 8.1 will be considered a service pack. So within 2 years, Microsoft will expect you to move from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1. Now, Windows 8.1, or really 8.x, will be supported until October 2023. So the overall Windows 8 lifecycle will not change. However, Windows 8.1 will be considered current. And then we got an interesting French paper that actually was released last week, but I just got caught up on some of my reading, and this paper illustrates how a DNS anti-denial of service feature can be used to assist in DNS spoofing. The feature here is response rate limiting, and it's sort of straightforward, where you can set a certain limit at which a DNS server will reply response. The problem here is that if the DNS server, the legitimate DNS server, does not respond, it does give a spoofer more opportunity to actually send back spoofed results and eventually guessing query IDs and source ports correctly. Now, response rate limiting allows for a little bit of flexibility here. Instead of not answering the query at all, another option you have is responding to the query with an empty response and a truncate bit set. So this is a very quick and simple response that would then force the user to come back via TCP. And if the source was spoofed, then of course the response is going nowhere and you will not see the TCP connection. In addition to setting the rate limit with this feature, you can also set a slip value. The slip value determines how frequently these truncated responses are sent back, and the default is 2, which means for every other refused response, you will see one of these truncated responses. So in other words, every other request is not being answered. This French paper now recommends that you set the slip value to 1, which means that every request is getting a response, even if it's one of these truncated empty responses. And this way, you eliminate this window that is created in order to allow for spoofed responses. Overall, I don't think that's a huge issue, but it may certainly be something that you do want to address if you are using a response rate limiting. In the tests that this group ran, they were able to successfully spoof a response by using 100 megabits per second of responses for 8 hours straight. So you probably should be able to detect this attack just based on the volume of spoofed responses. And Roy Castillo is reporting about a more interesting cross-site scripting vulnerability in Gmail that I think nicely illustrates some of the pitfalls in avoiding cross-site scripting. In this case, in order to trigger the cross-site scripting vulnerability, you first have to set up a Google Analytics account. The name that you assign to the Google Analytics account is essentially the script that you're trying to inject into Gmail. And then you send an email from this Google Analytics account
to the Gmail account, and that will trigger the cross-site scripting exploit. So essentially a typical issue here where input validation is apparently being used to prevent some of these issues, but Google Analytics is very forgiving in what it allows for account name, and then Gmail assumes that Google Analytics is doing it right, which, well, it doesn't do right, and cross-site scripting happens. Cross-site scripting can really only be prevented with proper output encoding, not necessarily with input validation. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.